Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri.
This week, we hear from Dr. Alexandra Gattardo, Associate Professor of Psychology at Wilfrid Laurier University. She does research involving reading, culture, and immigrant Chinese adolescents. Welcome, Dr. Gattardo.
Hello.
Well, we're glad to have you here, and we're real interested in your topic here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in culture and its role in reading.
Well, one of the things that started me interested in second language learners and reading and culture is that I myself am a second language learner, and I was always interested in finding out what differentiates people who are very successful from second language learners who are not so successful. So that is the first sort of step in the process. The next step was that I was a speech language pathologist in a highly multicultural school board near Toronto, and I was constantly being asked by teachers if the child that was struggling had a problem because English was their second language or if they had some kind of learning disability. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of literature on this, so that spurred my research interests. Finally, in terms of this particular study, Family Jia, who is one of the who is the primary author on this, is an immigrant himself, and he's very interested in cross-cultural research, and he approached me to sort of dovetail our interests on cross-culturalism and also reading.
Now, in your article, you use terms like acculturation, inculturation. Help me understand what those terms are and how they relate to reading at all.
Well, one of the things, so acculturation is actually identifying with mainstream culture and feeling that you are trying to become part of mainstream culture. Enculturation is not quite the opposite if you read the article. It actually looks at identifying with your heritage culture. And what we found was that it is possible to do both, to move towards your new mainstream culture, but also to maintain facets of your heritage culture, so that these two variables were not negatively related to each other.
And you also refer to a language adjustment period.
Well, there's definitely in the research the idea that it takes a while for students to learn their second language, and that you have to give them time, and that there are many different factors related to how quickly students acquire their second language.
And then again, how does any of this relate to reading?
Well, reading is language, and certainly when you're dealing with high school students, which is the group that we're looking at in this study, a big component of reading is understanding the text. And to understand the text, you need to understand the language very well, but you also need to know some things about the culture and about what kinds of things the text might be about.
So when you had teachers asking, does this child have a reading disability, or they might simply have a different culture, is that what the response is?
Well, they might have differences in terms of their language skills, or they might have differences in terms of reading experience. They might not have read in their native language, for example, even though they might speak their native language quite well.
Interesting. So now that you've done this study, what would you tell teachers?
Well, one of the things that we found is that identifying with mainstream culture actually helped predict reading comprehension skill if you looked at the measures at the same time. And so what we would say is that teachers should probably encourage as much mixing across cultures as possible. In some situations where there's a mainstream culture and one sort of ethnic minority than it could be the mainstream culture. So, for example, Spanish speakers and English speakers in the U.S. But in Canada, our immigrants tend to come from many, many different countries. So you might have kids with a whole bunch of different first languages, and the core language, the common language, is English, even though they speak all kinds of languages at home. And if you are mixing among friends, then you're going to practice your English skills. And that's a nice way to learn English. It's motivating for kids, and it's a way that's fun to learn a language instead of, you know, read the textbook, memorize these sentences.
Are you, though, asking these immigrants to some ways shirk their heritage?
No, and that's actually the nice thing about our particular study, is that it shows that the heritage and enculturation, so the identifying with your first language and your first language culture, is not negatively related to being able to read English. So it shows that it's possible to maintain both cultures, and in fact the model that we have and the questionnaire that we use shows that it's possible to have a sort of bi-dimensional affiliation with culture, so you can maintain your first culture and start to identify more with your second culture as well.
So what do you tell parents?
Well, I think this is encouraging for parents because they can feel confident in having their child maintain their native culture while still, you know, having friends at school who are maybe from a different culture, and encouraging both aspects in their child, that maintaining the native culture, maintaining the native language at home, but still having friendships outside the native culture, and possibly, you know, maybe opening up a little bit. So if a child wants to bring someone in from another culture into the home, that's okay. You can have that friend, but you can also speak to your parents, your grandparents in your native language and identify with your native culture.
What are the implications for principals?
Well, I think it's probably, again, similar to teachers, enhancing interaction across culture and doing it in a real way. So, you know, making sure that sports teams in a school are cross-cultural or things like that, not just doing a, you know, today we are going to celebrate a certain language or a certain culture, but doing it in a way that's sort of not artificial, more authentic.
I was going to say, all your recommendations seem to be pretty authentic, sort of what just would happen naturally. What do you tell policymakers?
Well, in terms of policymakers, I think it is a controversial thing in some places, but it is possible to maintain your first language and your native culture and also learn your second language and acculturate, and it shouldn't sort of involve erasing the first language and the first culture in favor of the other culture.
So are there any policies that you're aware of that feel like are discouraging that?
Well, I know in Canada, on the positive side, we have an official multiculturalism policy. And we have after-school heritage language classes or on weekends that are actually offered by the school boards that encourage children to maintain language and literacy in their first, in their native culture, as well as, you know, activities about their culture and learning about their culture. The nice thing about that is that it has now been renamed International Languages, because there are native English speakers who go to those classes to, say, learn Chinese weekends. And so they learn about Chinese culture with Chinese kids. There are also adopted Chinese kids who are involved in those. So Chinese kids who have been adopted by Caucasian parents who are involved in those international language classes, and that way they can maintain and identify with their native culture, even though they're being brought up in very much a Canadian culture with Caucasian parents.
That sounds great.
Everybody's trying to sort of maintain some of that.
Yeah. Well, what do we still need to learn? Where are you going with this next? What do we still need to know about culture and its role in reading?
Okay, so there's several places that we want to go. One of the things that I do want to look at is longitudinal research and looking at both cognitive and linguistic as well as motivational variables and looking at the relationship between motivation and acculturation and seeing how those two sort of pair together.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Fan Lee is also interested in looking at narrative long-term sort of examples of mechanisms of acculturation, so having people explain how they are becoming more acculturated. And finally, another area of interest to me is looking at the idea of language loss and looking at how language loss and acculturation are related to each other, because that is a challenge. And certainly when you talk to parents of second language learners in Canada, despite all the multiculturalism policies, a lot of them are concerned about language loss in their children and that they're losing their native language because the common language for everyone is English. So they really want ideas on how to maintain that and reassurance that maintaining your culture and maintaining your native language is important and a good thing.
Dr. Alexandra Guttardo from Wilfrid Laurier University, thank you for being with us today. You can find Dr. Guttardo's research in Reading Research Quarterly, Volume 49, Issue 2. Stay current with literacy research. Go to iTunes, Facebook, or Twitter and search for Voice of Literacy, or go directly to our website, www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Guttardo. We invite you to join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes and peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests and post questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.